Thank each of you for being at Life Church today. One more time, can we welcome all of our many guests? We are so thankful. Let's give it up like we appreciate the guests that are here today. We're so glad you're in this room. And what a wonderful job this worship team did. Would you give it up for Life Worship? Always doing an excellent job to lead us in worship. I want to talk to you on the topic today of human frailty from dust to destiny. Human frailty from dust to destiny. Our souls are clothed in flesh, in bone, in marrow, in things that wither and age. And no matter how young and beautiful you look today, you could be as beautiful as my fiance looks today. Amen. There's going to come a day that your bones are going to wither away. There's going to come a day that this earth is no longer. There is going to come a day that your brand name clothes aren't really going to matter. There's going to come a day that knowledge of this service will no longer be. Your money will have no value, no matter how much you have saved up in that Roth IRA. There's going to come a day that Roth IRA no longer matters. And there comes a time that no matter what car that you came in this parking lot, it's not going to matter anymore. Because we understand that those are material things. And that material things wither, they rot, they crumble, they rust, they pass away, and there will come a day that those things will no longer matter. In fact, there will come a day that your body will no longer be. And even after the day that you die, that body that stays in the grave is not you. You are the soul that's living inside of you. And this is a material experience. We are experiencing material things. We see and we hear and we taste and we smell and we feel. And these are material things. And material things will not last the test of time. They will not last forever. But there is one that will last forever. And his name is Jesus. And he sits on high. And he's met us in this place today. And no matter what may fade, no matter what may come and go, no matter what relationships may no longer be, the presence of the Almighty God, the everlasting God, is in this place today. I think we ought to praise him one more time. I think we ought to clap our hands to him one more time. The stock market is not eternal. Man-made things will eventually disappear. Here's what the book of Ecclesiastes says in the first chapter, 8th verse. It says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. You ever notice people can't be entertained enough? There's never enough work they can do to be satisfied. There's never enough songs they can hear to be satisfied. There's never enough materials they can have to be satisfied. You can have the luxury house. You can have the brand name clothes. You can have the beautiful car. You can hear all there is to be heard, feel all there is to be felt, and there is still something in the soul that is not satisfied. And maybe you've been going through your life and you've been wondering why you don't feel whole. Maybe you've come into this place feeling an emptiness and you wonder, you feel like you have it all. You have the money, you have the friends, you have the followers, and there feels like that there is an emptiness in you. I want to remind you today that there is a God-sized hole in each individual. And money can't fill it, and drugs can't fill it, and alcohol can't fill it, and the bottle can't quench it. And there's nothing to fill that God-sized hole. Mankind is never satisfied. Understood this. We're not going to let the devil stop a good service today, amen? Let's not blame it on the devil. Maybe it's just the sound system. Job understood this. He tried a lot of things. If you read through the book of Job, some of y'all go in there looking for jobs. The book of Job, we read that he tried all of these things. He tried women, and he tried wisdom, and he tried wealth and he tried work and he tried all of these things. And we read and we follow him through this journey of trying to attain the meaning of life. And truly, this is not just the story of Job. This is the story of each of us. Because there's come a time in your life that money just didn't cut it. And there's come a time in your life that that relationship just wasn't filling that hole. We read these words in the book of Job, the 14th chapter, verse 2. It says, "He cometh forth like a flower." This is speaking of mankind. It says, "And is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." There's going to come a day that you continue not. The scripture says even our righteousness is as filthy rags. And I'm not coming to tear somebody down today. But what I am coming to tell you is there is more than the material. There is more than the clothes on your back. There is more than the money in your bank account or lack thereof. There is more than the things that you can attain of physical, fleshly possessions. There is more to this life. This life is not about the here and now. It's not about what you can feel or see or hear. It's not about the popularity that you can gain. But there is more to this life. And there is one that will never fade. There is one that will never turn his back on you. There is one that will never walk away from you. And it's not your girlfriend, and it's not your spouse, and it's not your drug dealer, and it's not your car, and it's not the clothes on your back. But his name is Jesus, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And people will do that. You can put a lot of trust in people, and they'll stab you in the back. You can put a lot of trust in money, and a recession will come along, and that money quickly disappears. And you can put a lot of trust in your image, and you could wake up tomorrow and all of your followers could be gone from your Facebook and your Instagram account. Because life is a lot, it is about a lot more than physical things. It's about a lot more than fleshly things. And we read very certain words from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah the second chapter. I want to take you to verse 11. We read Isaiah prophesying of the coming judgment of the Lord. And here's what it says. Isaiah the second chapter, verse 11. If you have your Bibles, looking off your neighbor or looking at the screen, say amen. Verse 11, "The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord," somebody say alone, "shall be exalted in that day." Verse 12 says, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be made low, and the Lord alone," somebody say alone, "shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth." Verse 20, "In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth." And I want you to read this last verse with me, verse 22. "Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of?" This scripture describes the judgment of the Lord that will come upon those that do not turn to Him. And it describes that these idols are things that are formed to be worshiped. They're things of gold. They're things of silver. They're things of materials. And we live in America, and there's not too many times that you're going to go over to your friend's house and you're going to see a big old statue of an idol that they've been worshiping. But let me tell you what you do see in the 21st century. You see jobs that people prioritize over the house of God. You see materials and things that people put before the things of the Lord. You see people willing to sacrifice for homes and nice vehicles when they're not willing to sacrifice the things that stand in between them and God. And you may not see idols made in the image of man. But what you will see is you'll see idols made to build the image of man. You'll see things, you'll see followers, you'll see all of these things that distract people and stand in between them and God. And we hear the words of the prophet Isaiah as he tells us that the haughtiness of men will be made low. That anything that lifteth itself up will be cast down. And I'd like to remind somebody in this place that you ought never to lift yourself up. You ought never to place yourself above the Almighty God. You should never place your agenda before God's plan for your life. You should never prioritize self and self-image before doing the work of the kingdom of God. Because if we're not careful, anything that we put before the Lord can be an idol. Sports may be your idol. Social media may be your idol. Your nice fancy shoes may be your idol. I know it's getting tight in this place, but we've got to be careful because we may not have idols of gold sitting on our shelf ready to be worshipped. But when we prioritize things before God, we're placing idols in our life, and everything that lifteth itself up will be made low. And it tells us a commandment. It says, cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Or in other words, why would you ever even consider him? And sometimes we build up such a self-image of what we think of ourselves that we think we're worthy to be considered. But I'm going to remind you of what I said on Wednesday night. We don't come into the presence of God saying, here I am. We come into the presence of God saying, who am I? Because we don't deserve him. There's nothing we could ever do to save ourselves. There's nothing we could ever attain to earn his grace. There's no possessions you could ever have that'll get you to heaven. Your money won't do it. Your car won't do it. Your clothes won't do it. Your spouse won't do it. Your image won't do it, but Jesus will do it. He is forever. The scripture calls him. He said, I am that I am. In other words, when nothing else is, he still is. When everything else fades away, he still is. And when people turn their backs on you, he still is. And when your money is depleted, he still is. And when nothing else matters, and when even the thought of this service that you and I are in is forgotten, he still is. And if you're reliant on your possessions, they will fail you. And if you place your trust in people, they'll turn their back on you. But I'm telling somebody today, you've got to put your trust in the Most High God. He was, and he is, and he is to come, and he'll never turn his back, and he'll never walk away, and he'll never stab you in the back, and he'll never leave you, nor forsake you, nor forget you. First Peter, the first chapter, tells us in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, And all the glory of man is as flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord, somebody say the word of God, endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May I remind somebody that everything may be breaking loose in your life. Things may be very uncertain. You may be going through the trial of your life and everything seems unstable, but the word of God's never gonna fail you. It's never changing. It'll keep you until the end. And when everything that can be shaken is shaken, and when everything else fadeth and falleth away, the word of the Lord stands forever. And that's why when everything is upside down in your life, you can open up the word and read, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. That's why when you don't feel worthy and you feel like you've messed up, you can open up the word of God and you can read the words, his grace is sufficient for me. There's something about opening up the word of God in the times of calamity that it reminds us that he will stand forever. And when the earth shakes and it quakes and it no longer is, the Lord's still going to be here. And when gold and silver fades away and they forget about that fancy name brand bag that you brought in this place, God is still going to be there. And if you put your trust in things that can be shaken, your life will find itself in calamity. If you put too much trust in people, people will walk away from you. If you put too much trust in your things will fail you. And I know it's tied in this place, but I want to tell somebody that you're not going to be saved by the things you have. And you're not going to be saved by the friends that you've built up in this life. The only one that can save you is the one who was and is to come. And his name is Jesus. And you've got to turn your life to him today. It's okay. The fleshly man loves physical things. We're programmed to love things we can feel and smell and taste and see. And they love the things they can build. And if we're not careful, we'll try to build self-image. We'll try to be like the Babylonians and let us ascend to the heavens. Let us be like the Most High God. And we'll try to build things in our life. We'll try to build legacies. And we'll try to build lifestyles. And we'll try to collect material things. But you can't do this thing on your own. Your good works cannot save you. You can't build a life that'll get you to heaven. But you've got to allow God to form you. There's a difference in between what you can build and what God can form. When the children of Israel begin to worship the golden calf and they turned their back on God, the scripture tells us that they rejoiced in the works of their own hands. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in the trap of believing that we've done this thing on our own. We'll find ourselves in the trap of believing everything that God has blessed us with is something that we were able to accomplish on our own. And if you're not careful, you'll start taking credit for the things God's done for you. You'll start taking credit for the way God's kept your kids. You'll start taking credit for your joy and for your peace. You'll start taking credit for the blessings of God. But let us never forget that if it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be? That song says, my life was nothing until he set me free. I wonder if anybody feels like that. I wonder if anybody remembers when he pulled you up out of the mire and he set your feet on solid ground. And let us never forget that what God is doing here at Life Church is not something that men have been able to do by their own hands. I can't do it. You can't do it. Pastor Brown can't do it. No, not a single person by the work of their own hands can do it. But this is a work of the Almighty God. And when you look around you, we see more than material things. We can have a stage, we can have chairs, we can have programs, we can have a sound system, we can have singers, but if we don't have the presence of the Almighty God, it's nothing different than another conference down the road. I want you to understand something in this place. It's not the chairs that make the church. It's not the platform that makes a church. It's not this podium that makes a church. It's not even you that really makes the church. It's when Jesus transforms your life and He adopts you into His bloodline. That is the church of the Most High God. And man-made things can't sustain you. Structures and systems have a place, and we've gotten good at doing them, but they can't get you to heaven by themselves. We need a move of God. We need the presence of the Lord. You've got to get full of the Holy Ghost. You've got to allow God to begin to come into your heart and come into your life and form you and transform you. The church is not a construction of man. It's an assembly of the Lord. This is not something we can orchestrate or formulate, but when God comes into this room and His Spirit begins to move, He can do in one moment what you and I could never do in a lifetime. Here's what Jesus said in the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse 16. He says, "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor." It's not the gold of the temple. I'm glad we're in a portable church today, because it's not the building that makes it. It's Jesus that makes it. It's not the person seated next to you that's going to get you to heaven. It's Jesus that's going to get you to heaven. It's not the songs you like. It's Jesus that's going to get you all the way. We read something very similar in 2 Corinthians, the words of Paul in the 3rd chapter, verse 3. "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And that's what the Lord wants in your life. He doesn't want you to be sufficient on your family. He wants you to be sufficient on Him. He doesn't want you to put your trust in money. He wants you to put your trust in Him. He doesn't want you to put your trust in your job or in your 401k. He wants you to put your trust in Him. We don't put our trust in corruptible things, but our sufficiency is in God. I had a great-great-grandmother. I never met her. But there's things that are said in a family that get passed down from generation to generation. She was a Hungarian woman. She was raised in Germany, lived in Germany until World War I. They knew what it was like to suffer. They knew what it was like to struggle. But she used to tell my great-grandmother and my grandmother, as they were little children, and they would go to sleep and they would wake up in the morning, and that broken English accent, she would tell them, "We go to bed in Jesus' name, and we wake up in Jesus' name, and everything we do in Jesus' name." And anytime they'd get worried and anytime things wouldn't be going right, she just, in that whisper of a grandmother's voice, would remind them once again, Everything we do in Jesus' name. I know you may be going through some things in your life. I know things may not be going the way you want them to go. But everything we do in Jesus' name. He woke you up this morning. He put breath in your lungs. He brought you into the house of God. And the future of this church is a future in Jesus' name. And the future in your family is a future that is set in Jesus' name. And the future of your body and your health and your salvation is in Jesus' name. You know what worry is? Worry is saying, I don't know how I'm going to figure this out. Worry is self-reliancy. Worry is saying, I don't have enough money to do this. It's saying, I don't have enough energy. It's saying my body just isn't capable. It's reflective of being, you know what self-consciousness is? It's self-consciousness. It's thinking of yourself. And when you begin to feel those spirits working on your life, making you think you're not enough, bringing self-conscious thoughts into your mind, telling you that it's not possible, telling you can't be forgiven, telling you can't be saved, telling you've gone too far, telling you that you're not good enough. Those are attacks of the enemy. God wants to tell you that you may have been formed in the dust, but you can be raised into the destiny that God has for your life. And while it's no excuse to sin, God does expect you to be transformed. The scripture tells us, and the psalmist wrote it in the 103rd chapter, verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Look at somebody near you and say, you look sharp today. You look good today. But I want you to remind, I want you to remind yourself that behind that fancy dress and that nice sports coat and that sharp button down and that cool t-shirt, whatever it is you're wearing today, that behind the facade and behind the car you drive and behind the persona that you project of yourself on social media, he knoweth your frame. He knows that we are nothing more than dust. And the psalmist didn't stop there. He says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. May I remind somebody, he knoweth that you're dust. He knows your frame. He knows your inconsistencies. He knows where you mess up, but his mercies are from everlasting to everlasting. His grace is as far as the east is from the west. It cannot be measured. Some of our young people were able to attend a large conference, North American Youth Congress. Raise your hand if you watched online or attended in person. Several people in the room that got to be a part. And the Friday night preacher talked about how sometimes we measure things. And in measuring things, we can measure ourselves. We can get the ruler out and say, we don't measure up to receive God's grace. We're not good enough to be forgiven. We're not good enough to go to heaven. I want to rip that spirit off of somebody's life today and tell somebody that Jesus has brought you here to forgive you, to renew your heart, to renew your mind, to fill you with this spirit, to baptize you in the name of Jesus, to wash away your sins, and to take you from dust to destiny. Maybe you're wondering what I mean when I say dust to destiny. We were formed out of the dust. And when God created everything else, when he created the valleys and the hills, the sun, the moon, the stars, the beast, the grass on the ground, the scripture says that he simply spoke. He said, let it be. And it was. It's actually the Hebrew word abracadabra. He literally, it's abracadabra. He created as he spoke. And he spoke things into existence. And as he spoke the stars into existence, they were. And as he spoke the hills and the valleys into existence, they were. But he formed mankind rather differently. He chose a rather peculiar plan on how to create us. He used the dust, the very lowest thing of the earth, and he breathed into that dust the breath of life. And so you and I, no matter how sharp you look today, you're a combination of earthly, natural materials and the life-giving power of God. And when he created us, he didn't choose to use gold or granite. He didn't choose to use gemstones or limestone. I know some of y'all think you're made out of that. He didn't choose to use those things. He didn't take the precious materials of the earth to form you and I, but he reached down to the dust. And God has a way of reaching down to the low places. He has a way of reaching down to desolate situations. He has a way of reaching into broken families and single mothers and drug addicts' lives. And he reaches all the way down to the low places, the broken places. And he reaches down and he begins to collect that dust. And he endows us with the power of the Creator. And this is symbolic of the lowliness of mankind, of the fragility of mankind. If you took your finger and you wiped it on your counter, under your countertop, you'd find a little bit of dust. And that's what you and I are made of. It's lowliness. It's nothing without God. It's nothing in itself. It's nothing that is worth glorying over. It is nothing when it is without the presence of the Almighty God. And it's interesting to me that from a scientific perspective, that found in the dust is all 59 elements of the human body. Everything used to make your body has been observed as having been in the dust. But there's two things that separate dust from you and I. Because he takes the dust and he begins to form it into clay. And when you form dust into clay, you've got to add water. And he takes that clay that he has begun to form and he begins to breathe into that clay and he adds spirit. And it separates the lowliness of the dust, the earthen things, the low things, from the destiny and the plan that God has for your life. Can I preach this for a moment? You may be at the lowest place you've ever been in your life. You may feel like you're just dust. You may feel like you don't deserve his grace. But when he takes the dust and he applies the waters and he breathes into it the breath of life, let me put it in simple terms. When you're baptized in the name of Jesus and when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, he takes what is nothing but dust and he breathes into it destiny and he raises you up out of the loneliness and he pulls you up out of the darkness and he breathes into you the breath of life. And maybe you feel broken and maybe you feel unworthy. All you've got to do is repent of your sins. All you've got to do is be baptized in the name of Jesus, and the scripture says you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the low things. It's the dust. It's the unworthy things. But he applies the water and he breathes into it the spirit and it transforms it from dust to destiny. I want you to stand on your feet today as the music comes. Maybe you've never been baptized in the precious name of Jesus. He wants to apply the water to your life. He wants to wash away the broken things. He wants to wash away the bitterness. He wants to wash away the hurts. He wants to wash away the fragility. But he doesn't want to stop there. Maybe you've been baptized in the precious name of Jesus. He wants to fill you with his spirit, because there's nothing different than clay and you and I until the spirit of God has been breathed into us. And your life is more than that of the dust. You matter more than the dust. Some of you don't treat yourself like you matter. I want to remind a young woman that you've been created in the image of the living God. I want to remind a young man that you've been made in His image. And so today I want to invite you to come put yourself on the potter's wheel. Maybe you've never repented of your sins. Today you can come and you can repent. And you can take the dust and you can give it to Jesus. And He'll make destiny. Maybe you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus. We can baptize you in Jesus' name. I don't know when we do that around here, but we're going to make it happen, Brother Brown. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe you've been seeking for it for a long time. God wants to fill you with His Spirit today. And there's something about the wells of God when they enter into your spirit that it can't be contained with inside of you. And it begins to come up out of you, and you begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Maybe you've been baptized, maybe you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but you just feel like you've got to come back on the potter's wheel. I'm calling to you today. I want every head bowed, every hand lifted, every eye closed. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray you'd begin to move upon somebody's heart and you'd begin to show them that they've been made to be more than just dust, that you want to fill them with your Spirit, that you want to wash away their sins. Come on, lift up your own voice to God. I pray right now you'd begin to move on somebody's heart. I pray you begin to call them under repentance. I pray you'd begin to draw them under the potter's wheel. If that's you in this place, if you want to be made to be who God has made you to be, I want you to come right now to the front of this room. Maybe you don't feel comfortable on your own. Grab the hand of the person next to you and bring him to the front of this room. Come to the potter's wheel today. God wants to mold you. God wants to make you. God wants to breathe His Spirit into your life. Would you do that today? If you want God to begin to work in your life, would you just come to the front of this room? Would you throw your hands up to God and out loud with your mouth begin to talk to Him? Come on, He has a plan for your life. He has a destiny for the dust. Open up your mouth today as they begin to sing, and I want you to talk to God.